Good morning, lovely people, both in this room and afar, virtual, wherever you are. You're really welcome within this service, within this community, within this church. It's great to see you, to have you wherever you are. We're going to kickstart our service this morning with the song Joy to the World. And I recognise that, given the news of last night, given everything that's been going on across 2020, across the nation, across the world, that joy might have felt a little bit sparse. but let's recognise the immense joy, the deep joy that we have deeply rooted within us in knowing Jesus and in the brilliant news of his birth that we do celebrate each Christmas time. So let's stand together, let's sing together, let's lift our praises. Connecting this morning virtually and by the wonders of the internet, Lord, we thank you for the joy that you have given us so deeply, so beautifully, so wonderfully. Lord, we thank you that we can be here and praise your name and recognize that even in the toughest of circumstances, we can know you, that you are with us, that you hold us. And Lord, we just pray this morning, we pray that your presence would be so deeply felt, that joy would be so deeply felt, near and far. Amen. I think I'm going to hand over to Jamie. I think they're sorting something technical out at the back. He's on his way.
I think you would have, if you weren't in the room, you would have enjoyed that song by the power of mime during that last sequence. What was amazing was how realistic they made. There was no sound here either, actually. Everything was working perfectly. They were just all miming. The worship band normally mime to a backing track. It's like the Milli Vanilli of the worship. There's an 80s reference for you. Sorry, yes, we obviously had a technical problem. A lead fell out and we needed to plug it back in again. It was really technical. But here's a few notices anyway. The main notice today, we've got our light procession, which is obviously this afternoon. We're starting at 5:30 and it'll be lasting for about 2 hours. Now, lots of you have already booked in, which is really fantastic. And we've got over 100 people already booked in. Just to be really clear, the time slot that you've booked in for, you don't have to like turn up at the beginning of it and leave at the end of it. That's a window in which we're hoping you'll arrive. So the idea of the time slots is not a start and stop time. It's a window for when you arrive. So that not everyone arrives all at the same time. So in fact, we don't want you to turn up exactly at the beginning of your time slot, otherwise everyone will be turning up on the half hours. So if you turn up somewhere within your half hour slot, and then you can stay for as long as you like, as they will be, hopefully everyone's going to be bringing lights to put on our heart for Bognor, and there'll be some mince pies and mulled wine and hot chocolate, and you can listen to some carols, and hang around really for as long as you like, maybe 5 minutes, maybe half an hour, whatever, and then go whenever you're ready. So it'll be kind of a rolling event from 5:30 through to 7:30. Does that roughly make sense? Yes, thank you, with confidence. Once more, does it make sense? How I've missed this. What else? Okay, so, and then on Christmas Eve, we have our Zoom Christmas Eve service. So if you haven't got the link for that, then please do drop us a line in the office and we'll make sure you get the Zoom link. So we'll be gathering on Zoom at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Please have mince pies, mulled wine, or tea, or whatever is your Christmas... Sherry, yes, we've got a vote for Sherry. Any advance on Sherry? Anyone else want to throw anything else? Whiskey. Says, you're too young to drink, Nick. You shouldn't be thinking about things like that. Yes, so please relax. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a bit like our family services. So it'd be fun. It'd be good for all the family. If your kids are around and want to stay up and stay up, except the kids will awake at 7 o'clock, surely, on Christmas Eve, or are they all too excited to go to bed early, surely? Anyway, yeah, involve the kids. There's going to be some things to do. I'll be sending out some instructions and some other materials and things that it might be handy to have about a little bit later in the week, so keep an eye on the email for that. On Christmas morning, we've got a group of us gathering down by the Waverley on the seafront, just opposite the end of Nyewood Lane there. John Lex will be leading that at about 10:30, just to greet the day and pray socially distanced outside down on the seafront off at the Waverley. So if you'd like to come along to that and you want to find out any more, please do drop John a line. Is there anything else I've forgotten? There's probably many things I've forgotten, but specific to this circumstance, I'm going to look at Nick for reassurance. He's ignoring me, that's fine. I'm going to reach out in the spirit for Julie. No, nothing. So I'm going to hand back to Hannah now with the power of actually being able to hear you.
Hello.
And look forward to you leading us in worship a bit more.
So, take this out. I'd already been planning on doing this next song before the news of last night. I feel like since the news last night, it probably has even more kind of poignance. It's In the Bleak Midwinter, beautiful song that was originally a poem. What it speaks of is that in the bleakness, in this despair, that is kind of set out in the first verse, actually, as we see the song progress, as the poem progresses, and we see the light that Jesus is stepping, that he steps into this world, and that he brings light, he brings hope, he brings love, he's the giver of peace. So I really encourage you this morning, whatever you're coming with, it could be real joy, or it could be real despair, or it could be anxiety, it could be sadness, perhaps dashed hopes, or scuppered plans, or missing loved ones. Just give that to God. Recognize that it's there. He knows it's there. He's with you in it. And let's just spend this time worshiping him together. Lord, we come to you today and we recognize that this year hasn't looked how we had thought it might do. We recognize that this week probably won't look the way that we had thought it would. But Lord, we give ourselves to you. We give our hearts to you. We ask you that you would use us for your kingdom, for your plans. May we be able to shine your light to our communities in creative ways. May people not feel alone. May they know that you are ever present, always present. And Lord, may we be reminded that you are faithful always, and that you are unchanging even in the midst of these changing circumstances. And may we remember that you are the person, you are the one that anchors us in this time. You hold us. Let's sing Faithful One together.
One, you're my rock.
call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. Faithful one. Sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. For earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden. joy for the morning. O sinner, be still. For earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down your burdens and lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too. So lay down your heart, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you Father, I thank you that we can come with where we're at, with how we're feeling. We can come as we are, knowing that you will always be listening, that you will always be there, knowing that you hold us, knowing that we're so well held by you, always, unfailingly, forever. And Lord, I thank you for Sylvia, for what you've placed on her heart to share this morning. Lord, would it not be Sylvia speaking, but would it be you? Would her words be yours? Yeah, Lord, bless her as she comes to share with us now. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning to share God's word with you. And so today I'm going to be continuing the theme of, you know, what is the heart of Christmas. But before I do, I just want to share a few thoughts, really, about the latest COVID restrictions that we heard of yesterday, because I think they're relevant to what I'm going to say. And regardless of whether we live in Tier 4, the new Tier 4, I think these restrictions are going to affect so many of us. You know, affect myself, and I'm sure so many people, not just in this room, but people, you know, watching online or what have you. And so there is sadness. And I want to just share with you... I saw a few minutes of a program yesterday evening, which I don't normally watch. It's called What the Papers Say. And there was one chap talking about the headline on one of the papers, and I don't know which it is, and that's not relevant to this. But it says, you know, Christmas is cancelled. And there was another lady being interviewed on there, and she said, it depends on your view of Christmas. She said, if you're a Christian and you believe the purpose of Christmas is to celebrate the birth of Christ, and she spoke with passion, then really Christmas cannot be cancelled. The way we've done Christmas before, the visiting of family and friends, which is important, that side of it can't continue, and nor the commercialism of Christmas. But the meaning of Christmas cannot be put out, because it's about the birth of Jesus. And so I wanted to speak to those of us who are feeling some sadness at this time and the conditions that we find ourselves in. And I would encourage you to kind of park your sadness to one side for the moment and just perhaps glean some encouragement from God's word today. It doesn't diminish your sadness, but hopefully there will be hope for you in the message from God for you today. So, you know, I offer that to you. And so the heart of Christmas. And so my theme for today, I've got the title, I Have a Plan, which I think probably ought to be up on the screen. Yep, good. And clearly that's not my plan. I'm not. but nevertheless, you know, I'm speaking about God's plan. God has a plan. And so I'm going to be looking at three things, really. God's plan, God's purpose, and our response to that. And this time of the year, we think about what is often referred to as the Christmas story, which I think can be misinterpreted. Now, if we've been in church for a number of years, we know that that's kind of shorthand for the coming of Jesus, his birth, and all the other things that we learn of that happened that first Christmas. But there are people who don't necessarily understand that it's not just a story, or that it wasn't planned by God. And it got me thinking, now I'm probably going to show my age now, but it doesn't matter. excuse me. Back in, well, around about 1990 or the early 90s, when my son was a young teenager, there was a series of books that he liked to read, and I can't remember what they were, and I didn't ask him, but that's by the by. But they drew you into the plot of the story. They got you engaged, and you know, you really enjoyed the story. And then kind of halfway through, there were options. You could choose your ending. Now, I don't know if there are any books like that now, but certainly when my son was a young teenager, he enjoyed these. And you know, you could kind of read, a brief synopsis of each ending, and you think, oh, I think I'll go for that one. And I imagined God having created the earth and seeing what a mess it ended up in, thought to himself, oh, crumbs. Oh, okay, so what can we do now? We're a bit strapped here. What can we do? And he kind of thumbed through the options, and he thought, do you know what? I'm going to go for ending number three. Sorry, Jesus, you've drawn the short straw. I'd say that as a joke, of course. I say that as a joke, but I say it to kind of emphasize the fact that God had a plan right from the beginning, and I'm hoping that I will be able to demonstrate that as I go through this morning. So, the heart of Christmas makes me think, okay, so what was on God's heart in the beginning? What was on God's heart in the beginning? And one of the readings that we often have in church Christmas season is John chapter 1. And if that could come up, please, on the screen, that would be great. Okay, thank you. So I'm going to read that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. When I was first a Christian, that was gobbledygook to me. I really didn't understand that. But as you begin to realise that actually Jesus is the Word of God, Jesus was put here on earth, sent to earth, not just to show us what God's love was like, but to be God in our midst. To be God in our midst. Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't come to show us how to live. He came to show us himself. And as we engage with Jesus, and I nearly said the stories of Jesus, but actually they're not. The accounts of Jesus' interaction with this world. As we engage with that, we learn more of God. We can encounter more of God. It's not just learning about God, but actually learning of him. And so, Jesus came to demonstrate the love of God. The love of God which is unquenchable. The love of God which is perfect. And the love of God which is here to impact our lives. He came to give us a security in his love. And as I thought of that, I thought about my own father, who sadly died when I was 17. Now, he wasn't a man who was gushy or telling me he loved me or, you know, hugging or anything like that. It was all very low key. But I knew without any shadow of doubt that he was on my side, and whatever happened, he was fighting my corner. And if my earthly father could leave me with those enduring thoughts, God is far, far above that. It just gave me a glimpse of who God is and his love for us. And of course, there's another well-known passage from John's Gospel, John chapter 3, verse 16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes him in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And I realise I've probably quoted that in a different version that's on the screen, so apologies. But that's what it's about. God planned in advance to send Jesus to us to demonstrate his love so that we would have no doubt that God loved us. And of course, we know the plan of Jesus' life. We know that it ended in his cruel death. And if we ask how much God loves us, it's this much. Jesus came to invite us to be part of the best family in the world. Now, sometimes it may not feel like the best family in the world because, you know, we're all human. We've always got our knots and wrinkles and, you know, our rough edges and what have you. But I contend that this is the best family in the world because as we choose to be in the family of God, because it is a choice, we are called into his love. A love which can transform us. But before I go too far in that, I want to go back to another in the beginning, which obviously comes from Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. That's Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. But I want to just focus for a little while on those words, in the beginning. And I want to have a brief Hebrew lesson, if you'll bear with me. It's not going to be heavy because I'm not a Hebrew scholar. But I learnt this from a wonderful man called John Kostick. His surname is spelled K-O-S-T-I-K. And, you know, I would encourage you to check him out on YouTube if you are interested to learn more. So, that word, that Hebrew word, in the beginning. There we are. It's up on the screen. Now, Hebrew, you read it back to front. Well, as far as we're concerned, it's back to front. You read it from right to left, whereas, with English, obviously, we go the other way. And with Hebrew, it's a pictorial language. It's not just letters, but it's also pictures related to the Hebrew language, to each letter. Now, if I said to you, from the English perspective, what does the letter B mean? You'd either think I was mad or you'd just give me a blank look and wait for me to carry on. Because we only know what B means when we add other letters to it. For instance, A, L, L. And we know it's a spherical object which we can throw or kick or play games with. But the letter B on its own doesn't mean anything. But not so with the Hebrew. And also you get combinations of letters as well. You know, two letters together which have an added meaning. So you have the meaning of the word and you have added depth, which, you know, added layers, if you like, to the meaning, which can be really, really helpful. And so we have the word which is actually translated as in the beginning, but is literally in beginning, which I think has a slightly different edge to it. And so we have the letters on the screen there. And reading from right to left, we have Bet, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yod, Tau. That's my best pronunciation of that. And the way you pronounce that word is Bereshit. Now, if you take the individual meanings of the letters, or a pair of letters, it opens it up in a completely different way. So if we could have the next slide, please. And we discover that it says, Son of the Father, destroyed by the hand of God on the cross. This is what is contained in that first Hebrew word, Bereshit, in beginning. And so when it says in Isaiah 46, verse 10, that God declared the end from the beginning, that is so true, isn't it? Because that first Hebrew word declared what was to be. It declared the plan of God in that word. So that is God's plan. And his purpose was to bring his love into this world. The love that transforms us. The love which calls us deeper. To dare to believe that we are totally and utterly secure in his love. That he is rooting for us. And that there's nothing that can prevent him from loving us so deeply. And we may ask that, I know I've messed up. I've made all sorts of mistakes in my life, and I've even made some deliberates. But God says, come, still come to me. Still come to me. As we were singing the song, come as you are. Come into the presence of God, knowing that this invitation from Jesus is for everyone, regardless of what's happened and what we've done. But it's a love which is so pure and so perfect that he doesn't want us to stay in our mess and the rubbish of our lives. Because I firmly believe that no matter how long we've been a Christian, there's always going to be that little bit which hasn't quite been transformed by God. So he invites us in that we may experience his love. That he will transform us, not transform our personalities, but transform our characters so that we will show more of his likeness and shine brightly of his glory in this world. And so, Jesus has offered, has issued the invitation. And like the old-fashioned invitations, there's RSVP at the bottom. We are invited to respond. We are invited to believe that God wants the very best for us. that we can be utterly secure in his love. Even in the midst of circumstances beyond our control. And we've got plenty of those, haven't we? Yet we can rest in his love, knowing we are secure and we will never be abandoned because he will always be with us. So we are invited to either take that first step into God's family or to recommit ourselves this Christmas time, to be willing to go deeper, to allow him to come closer, to allow him to transform those depths of our being which are still unhealed. And we are invited because of God's powerful and pure love. And so this Christmas time, as we have perhaps more time to reflect on the birth of Jesus and his purpose for coming to this earth, may each of us choose to say yes to Jesus. I'm accepting your invitation and I want to come deeper with you because that will be the best decision I've made in my life. And so I invite you in this room and watching online to consider that over the coming days and make your choice one way or the other. And may God bless you as you do it. Amen. I invite the band up to come and lead us again.
Brilliant. Thanks, Sylvia. We're going to finish our service this morning with a good old Christmas classic, O Come All Ye Faithful. Let's stand if we're in here, if we're able, and let's just lift our praises to him.
Oh, come ye, oh, come ye too.
Joy to the world again, as we mimed the first one, we might as well. Let's clap. Why not? Yeah, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the joy that you have brought to this world, for the joy that we have in you. And Lord, may we experience that. May we feel your presence. May we feel that wonderful love that Sylvia shared about. Would we just know your presence, know your joy, know your love, know your peace this Christmas time. In Jesus' name, amen. Brilliant. Well, hopefully see some of your faces this evening at the light procession. Book on if you haven't already into a slot starting from about 5:30. So I hope to see your faces soon. And if not, then hopefully Christmas Eve on Zoom. All right, take care. Be blessed.